Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 16th, 2015. We have a special show tonight, Bushwick Beer. Thanks to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We've got some great, great guests in the house. We got places out here in Bushwick like Hops and Hawks, Arrogant Swine, and Pine Box Rock Shop. So there's a lot going on out here in Bushwick, and we spend a lot of time because that's where Roberta's is, in the home of our studio at Heritage Radio Network. So if you want to tweet us at @beer_sessions, check in. There's someone tweeting live now, and they'll get back to you. So some of our favorite guests are back, Heather
Hey.
And Jeff from Pine Box
Hey.
Rock Shop.
I missed your smooth radio voice.
Oh, yeah. I'll just start singing for you. The worst guest ever is Garrett Oliver, because once he gets on, he wants to sing and talk all day.
Oh, we did one show with him, yeah.
I know. You guys have been on a lot. It's nice to have you back. So what are you guys doing? You have the Taste of Bushwick wrap party tonight?
Yeah, we have the Taste of Bushwick after party. They're having kind of a block party
on Rock Street.
Yeah, on Rock Street at Boar's Head. And so afterward, they can come and get 2-for-1 drafts, and we have a special cocktail with Oni's Rum.
Well, you guys were pioneers out here. You were the first Good Brew Seal bar out in Bushwick. I remember when we first awarded you, you thought we were trying to scam you guys.
We thought you were some sort of like pay-to-play organization.
Right.
You know, like sometimes when you get it written up in one of the magazines, you get like an offer, an email, right? It's like you get a plaque for $200.
Yep.
A framed print of your article and stuff.
Right.
Like who's who's directories.
But then I knew you guys were really authentic. And now let's go around the room. We got some people that have never been on the show. Tyson Holm, my buddy from Arrogant Swine, he was the great story where he was doing like his own little barbecue thing, pushing to open up, did some special events, and now you get one of the best restaurants out here in Bushwick.
Well, I wouldn't call it one of the best restaurants. I think we're a contributor to a neighborhood, and hopefully we don't offend too many people what we're doing. I mean, we are certainly Bushwick's first barbecue joint. So here we go. There's my Wikipedia entry for all of Perpetuum.
And you didn't offend anybody.
I actually got a big, huge complaint today, because my neighbors, who you figure we're in an industrial business zone, like there's fumes and toxic chemicals flowing
trucks.
Everywhere,
trucks
and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, how could we possibly offend anybody, right? Well, apparently our smoke kind of flown into the plastic bag manufacturer, and all their employees had to go home because. So that was kind of a hot
mess. It's like
the
nitty-gritty Bushwick out here.
Yeah. So, again, I was figuring if we're in the middle of toxic smog everywhere, I would be the least offensive guy there. But, oh, no, that apparently not.
I think a bunch of people at the plastic bag factory had a party and were like, hey, let's call in this smoke. We'll all go home sick. Then we'll go to the party.
Well, hey, I don't mind the plastic bag guys, because they're the ones sneaking out at, like, one in the afternoon for a drink.
Totally.
Yeah. So
you keep the community going, Tyson.
I do. I mean, they are operating heavy equipment, so I'm not sure how great of a contribution I am to that. But yeah.
All right. And then our other special guests, we get Blake and Rachel from Hops and Hawks. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks.
You know, I have a photo of you. You have the coolest sign outside. It's like these big letters, Hops and Hawks. And say hi, come on. Who wants it, to Rachel or Blake?
Well, I'll talk cartel.
Come on, Blake, get in here.
Yeah, I've been the GM over at Hops and Hawks now for a year and a half. And actually, today's my last day. This appearance is kind of a culmination of my foray into the beer and meat and cheese world.
That's the best introduction ever, man. And then Rachel, what are you, taking over from him?
Or? Yeah. Passing the torch here.
Yeah, at least in the beer department, I'm taking over for him. I've been at Hops and Hawks since like late February, and Blake has taught me a lot so far. So big shoes to fill, but I'm going to do my best.
All right, so we're going to talk a lot about Bushwick beer. So, you know, Jeff and other, you guys are kind of the pioneers out here with a Good Beer Seal bar. You know, what's Bushwick like, and what's it been for you guys?
It's crazy how much it's changed in the 5 years we've been open.
And it's weird because we lived in Williamsburg for 10 years before this, and that's all we said in Williamsburg, too. You know, we always hung out at Arcade. We had our wedding there, and we'd always talk about, like, wow, the neighborhood's so different, the neighborhood's so different. Move out, like, 5 train stops and, you know, just keep saying the same thing. But it's good because I think in Bushwick, a lot of the entrepreneurship is small business and owner-operated. So I feel like, at least the people that I've met, that's been, you know, really positive. And the community is really supportive of each other. And which is great for beer, too, because, you know, Hops and Hawks, we patron and, you know, you come to Pine Box and we talk about great beer. And,
that's where
you know,
we do
that's
all
how
our
community
research.
Is supposed to go. Oh, hey, yeah. We've done some research together, I believe.
I like that kind of research.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some dumb questions to get you guys loosened up. So, okay, what's like the most popular beer by on draft at each of your respective places right now?
Well, we have Mexican Cake on draft right now. So
Westbrook,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
And then people come in, they sell it by the growler too?
Yeah, we only sell it by the growler.
So you're just a growler only place?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was
going
to say it's what we don't have on tap because we didn't have a sour beer last week. And those tend to be the most popular.
Did people riot?
Well, you know, we did have a suggestion of past beers that were crossed out. So I think that might have made it worse. But actually, we just got something back in. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But what sours do you have?
Well, we just got the Anderson Valley one. I know you guys had that for a long time. We were doing the last couple Grimm. And what was the other one we had?
The Star Child.
Star Child. Finback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. What about you, Tyson, at Arrogance Wine?
Well, Grimm has definitely been, like, I mean, I think anything Joe Grimm makes is the greatest thing ever. I mean, there's an outstanding order from me at Union that anytime Grimm shows up, I don't care what he makes. He could be brewing like camel sweat, and I'll put it on tap because anything Grimm makes tastes great and it sells. Now I'm kind of disappointed because I think somehow there was some miscommunication with our order, so I didn't get the most recent Goza, and they have it here at Roberta's. It's pissing me off right now.
Roberta's has magical powers.
Oh, yes, yes.
Tyson, indeed. You're a trip. You were riding for Serious Eats?
Yeah.
About your, like, blow-by-blow opening and...
Yeah, well,
you're a big complainer, aren't you?
No, I mean, I'm still writing for Serious Eats, and, you know, I mean, that was the idea, was to kind of peel the curtain back. It's like, all right, here's actual restaurant ownership and all its and all its glory and not so glorious moments. And you know there was when I first started writing for it, the idea was to just kind of maybe make it not so awful. Be like, all right, here you go, follow your dream, and you know, here's this glorious road to it. And then, you know, nobody was interested. That didn't fly as well. So what I did was actually just write down everything that was completely candid about my experience. Everything from dealing with contractors, dealing with like employees, dealing with the health department flowing in on our opening day.
Oh my God, you got inspected on your opening day?
Yeah, we had inspected on our opening day, and we had this big, massive party on our opening day. So we were, like, mobbed. We could seat, like, about 200 people outside, and every seat was taken on opening day. And, of course, the line, which there was a sizable line, got held up for a good, like, 45 minutes because these guys were walking around with thermometers and all that other fun jollies.
All right. And what about you guys? Pine Box Rock Shop. What's moving well over there?
The local stuff, like crazy. I mean, there's so much of it now. But we're finding more and more when people are coming in. They're less interested in the West Coast IPAs and stuff like that. They're more focused on Third Rail, other half. One guy who makes beer we just can't keep in stock is Rich over at Bridge and Tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We put a keg of his stuff up. It goes in a few hours. And I'm constantly texting him, trying to get him to bring me some more stuff. And he's working on, as you guys know, a bigger facility. So once that happens, hopefully we'll have more of that in. But yeah, that just never sticks around.
We've heard that from a lot of small brewers, actually, in Queens and Brooklyn, that it's getting harder and harder for them to get space. And we know a couple people, I won't say who they were, but they're like, we're thinking about looking in Manhattan. Good luck.
I don't think there's actually no production brewery in Manhattan anymore. There's 5-way... Gastrobrewery closed, Chelsea closed.
Yeah.
Hey, who brought beer? Let's. So you guys are all like, you know, beer bars, beer shops. But did anyone bring beer for the show?
Well, I brought this this farmhouse IPA from Parrish in Louisiana. So figure you all get to experiment with lots of other local
Let's
guys.
Let's pop
so,
it. Yeah. Come on.
I actually don't have any instruments.
So you got the beer bar owners and then the restaurant owners and the beer shop guys.
There
in the
has
room.
To be a twist.
There's no beer.
Right?
Look at this.
Of course, that'd be an opener.
Yeah, come
there
on.
There you go.
So, I know you guys aren't going to stay too long, Heather and Jeff. Tell me some of the features of your place. You have music.
Yeah, we got a booker, so we're doing live music. Like, I think what six
five nights a
five
week
nights
now,
a
yeah,
week, which has been really good. We built the venue out kind of slowly in the back. Oh, I poured that bad. Sorry.
As a reflection of what's been going on with the local scene, we've been focusing more and more on carrying New York beers, and that's getting easier and easier to do. In fact, in July, we're going to do the entire month. We're going to do Good Beer Month, just New York City beers on draft.
In July.
Yeah. So
that's the first time we've actually heard about July Good Beer Month. We haven't talked about it too much.
No.
But I appreciate that you're into it, because it's going to be the seventh annual July Good Beer Month.
Well, what's cool is there's so many New York City beers now that you can do 16
easily.
And, you know, not even repeat a style. Well,
maybe
repeat a little idea.
Justin emailed earlier, I think there's 22 breweries in New York City right now, or people making beer
it's
registered
amazing.
In New York City. It's pretty amazing. So, Tyson, what is the beer that you brought again?
So, this one, I believe, is a... I mean, they call it an IPA, but from what I've been... I actually haven't tasted this yet. I have people sending me beer all the time, so this is... again, this is my first foray into the hospitality industry, and I didn't think how awesome it would be that... You know, I would be happy just people giving me money, but my guests are the ones constantly bringing me beer, right? I mean, how awesome is that as a job? The fact that you're people that you're trying to please, people that you're trying to like solicit cash from, is actually trying to make you happier by bringing you booze.
Did someone bring you this from Louisiana?
They did.
That's nice. Yeah.
Wow. We got to get a picture of that. And then Blake and Rachel, does that happen to you guys? People show up with bottles for you guys to taste all the time.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's not right. Maybe they're just trying to say something about your beer list.
Oh, yeah, maybe they're... That was the one of the more surprising things for people when they first come in. You know, when we were building the place out, the idea was to try to showcase the fact that, like, yes, we are serious about our beers. We have, like, 20 lines, and I spent a lot of time figuring out which beers to put on and which beers that are hard to get for people. And so people really do, I was thinking it would be kind of an uphill battle to convince people that, like, A, we are serious about our beer, which is hard to communicate when we first opened because you're a barbecue joint, right? I mean, Shiner Bock all around. That was the mindset for a lot of people when they were coming in. But once they come in, they're like, oh, wow, you got a lot
not
of good
for
stuff.
For a barbecue spot in Bushwick, you know? Like, maybe if you're downtown Brooklyn or something. But
yeah,
this
I think
is...
people here are pretty hip to, like, craft beer.
Yeah, I mean, I think even, like, but if you go around Brooklyn, I mean, a lot of the barbecue joints in Brooklyn are fairly constrained in what they can do. Like, we're, I think Hometown is a destination, so they're pretty adventurous with their beer list, but there's a lot of places that are kind of catering to their environment, right? If you're in a stroller mom kind of environment, well, your beer list is not going to be all that diverse. We're in the middle of the boonies, right? There's nobody around us. There's a stainless steel guy across the street from me. So if you're coming out to see me, you're a fairly open-minded kind of guy.
That's awesome. Heather and Jeff, why don't you guys give us a quick summary of what you think of the scene in Bushwick, the bars, restaurants, places you like to go.
Exploded. It's been awesome. You know, when we first moved here, there was just a few places, obviously Roberta's and Life Cafe, and ever since then, it's been awesome. I love Dear Bushwick. I love Forest Point. I haven't had a chance to come out to your place, but I'm sure I'm going to love it. So sorry. Northeast Kingdom, that's really, really good.
Oh, yeah,
place.
I ate there once. That was pretty great.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeff?
Well, I guess I'm more thinking in terms of beer, and when we opened... Part of the incentive of carrying good beer was it was the only place we can get it around here. Now I could, I can go out Hops and Hawks, pick up some great beer. There's just tons of bars and restaurants around here now all carrying great local stuff. So
do you guys really have to leave after this segment?
we gotta get the bar ready for the after party.
Taste of Bushwick. Yeah. So who are some of the restaurants in Taste of Bushwick?
You know, I had that very same question, but a lot of the you guys are participating. Yeah. I correct me if I'm wrong, but they started as one organization, and then they didn't do it for a couple years, and then they restarted it with the support of Boar's Head.
Well, they did it last year. They did it over in Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know, that stop. But yeah, it's more in conjunction with the Bushwick Star, though. And then I guess Boar's Head has supported it both years. And this year they opened up the Rock Street that they took away from us.
Right.
Yeah.
For this one day.
Well, what's that? What's the Rock Street?
Rock Street is a street that connects Bogart and Morgan. The streets that, Roberta's is on Bogart. Hops and Hawks is on Morgan Avenue. But anyway, it was a nice thoroughfare, apparently, but the Boar's Head folks, I guess, got the city to give it to them. So it's been blocked off for the last couple of years.
But they're opening it now and having, like, a pavilion where people can try different... different Bushwick restaurants and stuff. I think it's good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We went over there to set up, and there's all the great names are there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Heather and Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
We'll probably visit you
afterwards.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Chris O'Leary is coming on to talk about historical Brooklyn breweries, too, on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here in Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and we've got the Bushwick Beer Show. Some of our guests just left from Pine Box Rock Shop, but we're joined by Chris O'Leary, Brew York, New York. He's going to tell us in a little bit about some historical Brooklyn breweries. And Raphael from The Sampler and other Bushwick bars here.
What's happening, buddy? Party people?
All right, man. So I really want to get Blake and Rachel from Hops and Hawks. It's a unique place, so... Tell us about Hops and Hawks, because it's got a cool sign outside.
Yeah, well, those are the two things, beer and meat, beer and charcuterie. So we got cured meats, ham, salami, all that kind of stuff. But in addition, we've got cheeses, local provisions. Just about everything we have is made in Brooklyn. And we're not just saying that. I mean, basically you can get everything you want here now. So whether it's maple syrup or biltong, Australian kind of jerky, I mean, you're going to find it made in Brooklyn. So we've got all that kind of stuff. And, of course, we do growlers. We've got 20 lines.
Sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Don't forget about the sandwiches.
And you're on Morgan.
That's the big draw, I think.
Right? Yeah.
So, like, you know, you brought a sample of what you guys have. So what's in your growler? Because we want to taste your beer. What you guys pick for us?
Well, this is actually, we just got a new one from Maine. This is the
Beer 2,
which is this light-bodied
IPA. Session IPA,
yeah. Session IPA. I haven't had it yet, so here's
the
how.
The second beer in their hop program.
So you guys have a pretty diverse selection of beers.
Okay.
You got it. Everybody's got it. Chris, have you had it before?
I've never had this one.
So can we be critical, or does this have to be a love fest?
No, you can. It's supposed to be a love fest for you guys, but You can make fun of Tyson if you want.
Okay. I got lots of cannon fodder for that, too. So.
I found that session IPAs are an acquired taste. I found there's now a backlash to session IPAs. Anytime I speak highly of a session IPA, I get people who come out of the woodwork and be like, session IPAs suck. And I'm like, they're just hop water. So
I'm kind of in your camp on that.
Well, no, that's not my camp.
That's my
camp. I love them. There's a time and place for every beer, and session IPAs fall right into running off the subway because it was delayed into a studio wanting to have something refreshing.
Well, your enthusiasm is always infectious because now I'm thinking, I like this. Well, it's also a main session beer.
Yeah.
Main beer company. I haven't had one there. So, yeah. Raphael, look at you, man. Sampler.
Yeah,
you guys are rocking it out.
Representing the sampler over here. And we're part of the Bushwick community, too, because, like, even though it's like a couple of years, very, very new spot over there, I feel like it just landed in the moment that it was happening, all this transformation in Bushwick. I remember when we opening, all the people was, like, kind of surprised to see that, like, business model, that kind of like environment, that kind of like shelves just open to the public, and everybody's like, oh, I'm surprised like nobody's already like breaking into the windows and taking all the bottles at night, because this place was rough, man. And so right now it just like feels like it's such a welcoming area, such a welcoming neighborhood, that we're so excited that we're still like kicking it and like
are you from Bushwick?
I used to live in Bushwick. No, I'm from Mexico City originally, but I have it in my heart.
Let's go back in history. So we've got this. I could do a Bushwick pub and beer crawl. I'm sure you, Blake. Give us a walkthrough. Let's say I came out here next week and I wanted to get some beer and food in different parts of Bushwick. What would your pub crawl be?
People come in and sometimes they think that we pour, but we know it's all to go. We're a growler fill station. So they'll ask us where to go. So of course I send them over to the Pine Box. Like I said, that's where we do our research. They've got always got, you know, you go there once a week, you're going to try two or three new beers. Otherwise, yeah, you kind of head in Raphael's direction. Let's see.
What address are you at, Raphael?
I'm sorry?
The sampler. What's your address?
234 Star Street, just in the corner with Wyckoff, between Wyckoff and Irving. And there's a lot of action going on right now there with all this, like, barbecue spot just open, the pasta place, and Cuco, and, like, all this. You see the Bushwick Open Studio a couple of weeks ago. It was just crazy. It's madness. All these people that's making a destination in that area there. So, yeah, just out of the Jefferson Station and the L train, hopping it in, ready to party, guys.
there's another place. Yeah, the Bodega actually was one of the first bars in the new wave that moved in there in the neighborhood. That opened about almost 5 years ago now, alongside Northeast Kingdom, which was mentioned in the last segment. And I'd like to say that I probably had something to do with the fact that they have 12 draft lines instead of 6 for beer, because I was patronizing the place so much because it was the only place in the neighborhood at the time.
Did you give them instructions?
I did not give them specific instructions, but they were very excited when they installed the second tap tower. But since then, it's amazing how quickly the neighborhood has just expanded in terms of the offerings and great beer offerings too. I mean, when Raphael's place opened up, I was thrilled to have a craft beer shop in the neighborhood. And then Hops and Hawks opened, and I was thrilled to have a second one too, you know. So it's really great to see that happening here. And
if you live a little bit in the other direction towards like East Williamsburg, there's also the Wick and the Well, right?
Yep.
There's a live music venue and huge tap house out there. I know that's the place that you like.
Yeah, they have a ton of taps over at the Well. Yeah.
and Tyson's spot right down the street too. You could really like, I mean, you could go from one to the other to the other to the other all day long and really have a good time. Because this neighborhood is just it's just a wealth of beer options now, where it wasn't even 3 years ago. It really wasn't. So it's great to see it come around.
Well, cheers to you guys. Cheers to Bushwick.
Salute.
I come out here every week, so. And even Roberta's too. I mean, you know, Roberta's has, they always have beer on draft, but their back bar I think starting last year or year and a half ago, they started having separate lines in the back. Mm-hmm. And they always, there's always some good things. You said that, I think, was it Tyson? You said that they have Grimm here at Roberta's, but you can't even get it at Arrogance Wine.
They beat me to it. And I'm actually about to like break into the bank.
While if you're it here. Makes you feel better, we tried to get it on draft too, and we didn't get any. Right. So.
What I like about this like local conversation, Chris, and you probably agree with me, is that not too long ago everybody talked about how can you get Hill Farmstead or Hetty Topper? It used to be something from the West Coast, you know, Russian River or something. But now I like that you guys are actually complaining because you can't get a New York City beer.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. Each one pick one beer that you want to get besides Grimm that you can't get or you have trouble getting. Raphael's first, because I know he's...
Well, definitely Russian River. I mean, we've been the head of Russian River, like Damnation, and all those, like, sour...
I'll tell you one, because I'm talking... If you're going outside the city, Crooked Stave, there was a 12% they distribute Crooked Stave, and there was an email on Sunday. You guys probably all get it. It's like, wow, we got Crooked Stave on keg. So I waited till today, and of course I waited. I said, I just want to get, you know, 1/6 of one and 1/6 of the Surette, because I've never seen him on draft. I'm like, sorry, all the kegs are sold out. So that's mine, Crooked Stave. Russian River Crooked Stave. What about you, Tyson?
I would give, I'm pretty close to be willing to give my left kidney to bring Wicked Weed to New York City. You know, we're a North Carolina style barbecue.
You got to ask Justin Kennedy about Wicked Weed. He's got the direct line to Wicked Weed.
Yeah, hey, left kidney is right here. Because we were the first to port a collaboration with Stone here. But, you know, in terms of just people doing next level stuff, Wicked Weed out in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, Tyson, I think we've talked about this before. There isn't a single North Carolina brewery that distributes in New York City.
There isn't, and you know, and
that's true, Chris.
I'm willing to be a martyr for the cause. So whoever wants it,
wait a minute, that's not true. Doesn't Sierra Nevada also make beer in North Carolina? Dude,
and Oscar Blues. You got me.
So does Oscar Blues, but like that's the
okay. And we gotta get rich because it's like Blake's last day. And Rachel's first day. So what's the beer that you guys want to get but you can never get?
I'd like to get Hill Farmstead. I've never had that. I don't have a car to drive up there. So, you know, somebody brought me a Hetty Topper once, but they come in and say, do you have any Hill Farmstead? And I say, well, you know, you got to bring that to me. I get upset when we can't get some of the local ones. I mean, we mentioned Grimm, but sometimes there'll be a limited release from Other Half, something like that. I mean, that's the ones that are coveted to me because they really are only distributed locally. There's probably some others, you know, maybe you have some experience with some other beers, but there's so many great ones locally that, you know, that's what I'm
focused on. And then what's happening to you? So tell us, we have another segment, we'll talk more, but how'd you get into this business and how'd you get your job?
Well, I was working at a cheese counter, I was a stock boy, and then I worked up my way to the cheese counter, and then somebody asked me if I wanted to buy the beer. And so I took the opportunity to do that, and next thing I know, I was the general manager of this place when we opened a year and a half ago. And now I'm going away for the summer and not sure what's happening.
Where
after
are you
that.
Going?
Going down to South America for about a month and a half.
Oh, yeah. And then, Rachel, are you taking over as general manager?
Yeah. Well, no, not as general manager, just as beer buyer. So, yeah. I just moved here from Virginia in February. And so this is, like, new industry for me. I have a beer blog with my sister who also works for a brewery in Virginia.
What's it called?
It's called Barley Babes. Yeah, so
like that one.
BarleyBabes.com.
Tyson's smiling.
Let me just plug it right now. Yeah, everybody check it out.
Barley Babes.
Yeah, so basically I just came to New York and was like, someone at a beer shop or a brewery hire me in Hops and Hockstead. So,
All right. Chris, what's a beer that you want to get in New York you can never get? Because I know you go everywhere. How many breweries did you visit last year in 2014?
Last year I visited 150 on the dot.
Yes.
I'm at, I think, 112 for the year so far.
Wow, you're ahead.
I'm
so all that travel, just tell us, I mean, we have another segment to talk about it, but what's a beer that you can't get in New York that probably none of us have ever had that you wish you could have here?
That none of you have had? I've fallen in love with the stuff that Cali Craft is making out in California in the Bay Area. They're using a lot of like wine yeast. and to make really like kind of what they call sparkling ales, really like innovative, fascinating stuff. And it, you know, the wine yeast kind of has the influence of being in, you know, a region very well known for its wine. So that's something I'd love to see here.
That one sounds good, doesn't it? Raphael's like digging it over there.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
What part of California is that from?
Yeah. I think they're based in Auburn, California, so in the Bay Area. So. Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. Right. So, yeah, Jimmy, also, I mean, I was thinking about that, like how many beers I would like to see here and I would like to have in here. But also, I think at the same time, like, I feel like so, like, lucky to have also so many great beers that you can find in here that you cannot find anywhere else. Like, you know, like Other Half, Grimm, Trees Brewing Company, Bridge and Tunnel, like all these amazing locals, microbrewers that are doing fantastic stuff that I feel like, oh my gosh, and I have it around the corner, and I saw like people will die for this kind of beer, like next day, like New Jersey and Pennsylvania even, but even like, I feel like we're really good contenders with the West Coast breweries right now. I think like we're definitely like putting something together
to
that's
going to
be really
we're
hot.
Getting there.
You know, the only problem we have is that nobody brought beer. So we're gonna take a short break. We'll figure out what beer we have. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Cheers.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world-class ales and lagers in New York and beyond. All right, so Chris O'Leary's here. We're going to talk about some historical beers, but Blake from Hops and Hawks, you got a quick comment?
I was just going to follow up on what Raphael was saying about having so many great beers out here. One of the interesting things is we have a lot of tourists who come through. And you know they want to take a couple bottles home, and they want local stuff. So you know what do you have local? And I start to go to the fridge, and then I realize it's all on tap. You know, there's something kind of nice about having this ephemeral nature, as if we were just like Bushwick was just like a brew pub for all of New York. But you really have to get in the growler to go. There's the odd, you know, Evil Twin bottle, or you know, we have Stillwater, of course, but like in general, it's all stuff that you got to take home or drink here. And
you're right about that, and it's a good stuff going on. But Chris, okay, historical Bushwick. So we got contemporary Bushwick. We beat the crime. We got Boar's Head and Stainless Steel Contractors. But Bushwick is happening. Everybody knows it. So historical Bushwick, what, like 1898 or something?
Well, 1898 was the article I most recently did. But really, I mean, the growth of brewing in Bushwick started in the mid-1800s, especially towards the 1870s, as a lot of German immigrants started to make it to New York and started brewing here. Because they found the beer that was here was kind of lacking in quality and didn't meet their standards. So I uncovered a little booklet from the New York Public Library that lists all of the breweries that were operating in Brooklyn in different parts of history, actually throughout the United States. But there were in 1898 over 40, and that wasn't even the peak. The peak really happened about 10, 15 years before that. There started to be consolidation as technology improved, as we moved closer to things like refrigeration and quicker transport of beer as well. But we're sitting kind of in between two areas that were big clusters of breweries around the turn of the 20th century. One is about six blocks to our north and a block over at roughly around Montrose Avenue and Bushwick Avenue. There was a cluster of about six breweries that were operating in that area. And then in the same distance to the south.
That's where I get off the subway a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Like it's funny because if you look at these addresses, you realize that a lot of these breweries eventually were torn down probably during Prohibition and ended up being replaced with schools. There are actually a lot of schools that sit on former brewery locations and housing developments and things like that. If you go south from here, that's where we found another cluster of breweries just around Evergreen, between Evergreen and Bushwick Avenue in that area, just south of Flushing Avenue. That's where Rheingold was, and that was one of the longest lasting of that era. Rheingold and Peel's were the only two that really survived all the way up until the 1970s that were around at that time. Schaefer came a little bit later and also stuck around until the 70s too. But yeah, you know, within walking distance of here back in 1898, there were close to 15 breweries. And if you went further west towards the East River, you could find even more closer to the Williamsburg Bridge, which wasn't, I don't think, built at that time yet.
Did you have to do a lot of research to find this out, or was it like one brochure?
This brochure kind of fell into my hands, but I did have to do a lot of research in order to find out the exact locations of some of these, because sometimes they just had, you know, a street name and that was it, or an intersection, but we didn't know exactly what location within the intersection. So we were able to find exact street addresses, and some of the street names changed too, which made it challenging. So for example, one of the, I can't remember the name of the street right now, but what is now Wilson Avenue actually had a German name. But during World War I, the name of the street had to be changed because of, you know, anti-German sentiment, and it was named after Woodrow Wilson, who was president at the time. So that was a little interesting discovery I found along the way. But yeah, the vast majority of these breweries had a German influence to them, and catered to German immigrants. And many of them had things like legitimate, you know, kind of one of my pet peeves is the overuse of the word beer garden. but in this case, legitimate beer gardens that sat over the lagering tanks and you know, had nice shady trees, lots of communal seating, and were boisterous too. Those obviously didn't last very long, you know, and most of those fell, you know.
So there was, it was off the map. Like a lot of 19th century New York was German. Mm-hmm. A lot of German Americans. I know that happened too. I saw pictures of like Chinatown, and even in Chinatown, they had Chinese Ratskellers. And Ratskeller was a name that was used like a pub. Mm-hmm. And after World War I, it kind of went away.
So. Yeah, and there are very few. I mentioned the schools, but there are very few buildings left where these breweries stood. But there are a few. There's a couple of buildings that you can actually walk around, especially up towards Cypress Avenue, near the Ridgewood Line. Actually, they're kind of questionably Brooklyn or, you know, Bushwick or Ridgewood. There's still buildings that you can find. There's one right off the Myrtle Wyckoff stop that was the cold storage for a brewery at that location that still has the etching of the brewery name on it. And there are a couple other buildings scattered around Bushwick that still have remnants of their former use as breweries. So it was kind of fun to discover, and I kind of list out, I put notes on the map that's on the site of what buildings are still standing. So you can actually kind of go and explore and see what's left. It's not very impressive to see what's left now, and there's no beer being made in them. But
there's one around here that's a noodle factory, and it used to be a brewery. Do you guys know of any other former breweries in this area that you may have walked by and said, oh, that was an old brewery, and now it's something else?
Wasn't there one over on Marcy?
There was.
Or maybe that's not a brewery, though.
I mean, the first thing,
an old building.
Yeah.
So it could have been a brewery.
The other one that actually probably stands out the most is the old Hittleman Brewery is where the Wick and the Well is now.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
So that is pretty cool because I was able to see some of the, you can see a little bit on the outside. And in fact, the logo is still on the building of the old Hillman Brewery. That opened post 1900, but not long after. And was really, you know, it was more, it saw its heyday really as a post-prohibition brewery. So,
were they all German-style beers they were brewing?
Mostly, yeah. You know, when I studied up on some of this stuff and researched some of their beers, the vast majority of them were in the German style. There were a few places that kind of experimented with more unique styles, but they were still plays on German brewing. So, you know, they were moving into, there was one that just specialized in wheat beers actually, which was kind of innovative at the time. Although it's still traditional German, but, just not something that was done in the US. So,
did they ever do any of the box and stuff like that, or is it mainly?
Yeah. No, there were some darker beers, obviously, they offered, but it was all kind of in the German style categories that we, or what we define as German categories today. So, I'm still constantly learning more. And now I've kind of jumped into Manhattan to because there were actually more breweries in Manhattan in 1898 than there were in Brooklyn. So that's kind of my next adventure. But yeah, it would be interesting to see some local breweries here kind of mimic some of the styles. It'd be challenging to kind of unearth those, but you know, the recipes or anything like that, but it would be interesting to see. Actually, Volksbier, which is down in
Gowanus, yeah.
they when I was researching, I realized that there is a brewery directly across the street. There was a brewery directly across the street from where their brewery is now on this little side street in Gowanus. So it's like, and they're kind of making some old world styles too, which
he's
is
interested
cool.
in the ninth. Have you guys had Volksbier at Hops and Hops?
Yeah, we've had the.
Tell us about him, because he's a cool guy.
Isn't he great? Yeah. No.
But how did you find him? Does he come to you, or you say?
I found him kind of on a newspaper article, I think. Didn't know anything about him. Checked out the website, kind of like the ethos of the Volksbier and the proletariat nature of that, and finagled my way into his brewery, and the two of us sat at his makeshift bar and drank his beers over the course of the afternoon. It was wonderful, and you know, they're all very kind of subtle German inspired beers. We've had their Morning Dew, which is he called it an Alpine ale, and I think he may have backed away from it, but I ran with it. I thought it sounds so interesting, and people are like, "What's an Alpine ale?" I'm like, "Yeah, I knew that would happen." So and it does. It's this kind of German inspired floral, but still kind of light bodied ale. There's something about it. You're like, "Well, what is it that makes it so delicious?" You know.
I think he might be onto something, that maybe he's making what they made in New York in the 19th century.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see that tradition come back a little more. I'm always a proponent of seeing breweries make more lagers, even knowing the challenges of it being a little more expensive and time consuming. So, if the opportunity is there, you know, I'd love to see it more.
And then, is other than your blog, I mean, how else can we learn about these old breweries? Are you going to write a book about it? Maybe you should.
Oh man,
I just bought I was down in Charleston. I bought a book called Charleston Beer. So there's
cool.
Definitely a market for it.
Yeah, no. In fact, I was up in Rhode Island this past weekend, and there's a pair who just wrote a book there about the history of Rhode Island beer. So it would be fun to delve. I mean. Compared to New York, it would probably be, it was relatively thin compared to what would have to be written just about New York City, because there's just so much here that happened, pre-prohibition.
Yeah, this was like one of the big capitals of beer in America.
Yeah, close to like one out of every 10 beers brewed in the U.S. was brewed in Brooklyn, you know, at the turn of the 20th century.
All right. Hey, okay, we're wrapping up, but each one of you brought another beer, I think. Who has beer left? We're going to pick our last beer. So everybody pull out the beer that they have. I know, Chris, you brought some interesting beers. Does anyone else have a beer left?
Well, we got the Mexican cake here, but I think there's also a can.
The Mexican cake.
Mexican cake from Westbrook.
So funny that you brought Mexican cake, because Mexican cake was the first beer I ever had at the sampler. Raphael, I remember when I walked into the sampler, like right after they opened it, Raphael's like, do you want to have some Mexican cake? I'm like, yeah, sure.
It was very interesting to see the reaction of everybody, because that was our future beer when we opened. And everybody was very surprised to have that kind of beer that has all these like different layers of like sweetness and spiciness and chocolate and like all this, like still a beer that they never tasted before. And that's what I met Chris O'Leary, and ever since we've been partying together. It's awesome. Yeah, and yeah. We see it so happy, like it just came out recently, and we hope to have it for that. We make a really good combination, and Casey, our beer buyer, named it Cake for Lunch. So we make a mix of like lunch for beer, main beer company, and Mexican cake, and it was really, really good pairing.
That's fascinating.
So, Chris, which Bushwick place do you go to the most for beer? You can tell us.
It probably is a sampler, but that now, I do love it. It's also out of convenience because it's the closest to me. So
that's part of local.
Exactly.
So you get the Mexican cake. Local. And then, Blake, how did you get it? Because there's some really in-demand beers.
That's Rachel.
Mexican cake.
I mean, usually I, like, have been checking with him before everything I do because I'm still a little, like, getting my sea legs here. But I saw like 12% emailed and said that it was available, and I was like, I'm going for it. I'm getting it, man. And so, yeah, I guess it's paid off. People come in for it. So.
It's pretty good. And Tyson, anything
I'm actually hoarding mine.
Why? Huh? Why?
Because it's the same. Like we actually have like this underground. I guess not so secret right now, but there is a secret menu at Eric's Wine, mainly stouts. So like, you know, anytime I get, because like a lot of these stouts come out in the spring and the summer, which kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. Now, I know there are guys who will drink stouts on the beach, but you know, we hoard ours for come the fall and winter when I think it's going to be when everyone has stouts on their mind. So. You can buy Mexican cake from me, but it's not on the menu.
Well, you know, we might buck trends tonight. Justin suggested that instead of having dinner after the show here, we should go to Arrogant Swine.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. Well, should we do that?
Mexican cake awaits you.
All right. Well, anything I want to hear from, because Blake's kind of like it's your first time on and your swan song.
Well,
you're going away.
I'm going to check out the craft beer scene in South America. So maybe I'll I'm looking to be a correspondent for a few different topics. So if it gets me a spot back on here, certainly.
All right.
I send you a good spot in Mexico City. You'll love it, man.
Mexico City. Yeah.
You guys are awesome. We're just getting warmed up, and the show's wrapping down. Come out to Bushwick.
Jimmy, can I just make a very fast comment? It's all about Bushwick. We have a series called Bushwick Brucey Bonanza. Every 3 months, we got together. Casey got, and well, the staff and the sample got together. This only local breweries. And for the we have this so far as we made 3, and every time you see the tap list and just like. Damn, we have good stuff in New York. So please, guys, next Brucey Bonanza will be in 2 months, but also our anniversary is going to be in the third week of July. So please stop by, and definitely you're going to find some really amazing local breweries that
2 years, right?
2 years?
Yeah, this
will
be our 2 year mark, and we're so happy that community still supporting us big time, and especially like Jimmy Carbone and the Good Beer Seal. It's been like so amazing to us. So thank you very much, Jimmy, and thank you, everybody.
All right.
Support. We love you guys.
Well, in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Chris, Blake, Tyson, Raphael, Jeff, Heather. I think I got everybody. Did I miss someone?
Rachel,
for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carbone. Thanks to our producers, Justin Kennedy and Maggie Seiden, and our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.